You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Day. Welcome to my house, to my studio in my house. Yeah, welcome. It is the 27th day of May, and there's a happiness in the air because some of this overreaction to the COVID-19 virus is beginning to end, mercifully. So I'm curious, if you get a minute, send me a thought or two on how you think the nation performed, and just as importantly, what you think the major lesson learned from all of this going forward will be. I'd be curious to know what you think. So by all means, if you get a chance, if you care to, two questions. Major lessons learned and overall grade. And I don't know, overall grade, that kind of, you know, that's hard. How about this? Grade the federal government and grade your state. Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable, I think. And so I think when my own personal opinion, because I was thinking about this yesterday, while I was removing glue from the floor of my patio from carpet that probably was put down sometime in the 70s. So I ripped it up, and then I proceeded with scraping, yes, with a metal scraper, scraping that thing. F-18 man stopped by the day before yesterday. He did a little scraping with me. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thankful for what I do for a living, because that gets a little tedious, man. Boiling water, and then dumping it on 50-year-old glue, and then scraping it with the metal edge. Then the metal edge gets a little bit dull. And it took me a day and a half to remember that I had a sharpening grinding stone that goes into my drill. And then the blades got sharp again, really sharp, which really helps. So anyway, and now I'm contemplating whether I should put some kind of epoxy down on it or outdoor carpeting. I kind of like the outdoor carpeting that was there. I mean, it was disgusting, but you know, you walked out and, you know, it's nice to walk on when you exercise. There's another layer between, you know, you and the concrete. So I'm a little bit torn. And it's not cost prohibitive either. I think the carpet would be about $130. Yep. So, yeah, that was my project over the weekend. I pulled all the there's this nasty brown paneling. And so if you picture an L, okay? So let me draw this for myself. So if you picture an L, okay? And then you invert the L. Actually, just do this. Rotate the L so you just take the long arm of the L, and now you point it, instead of towards the sky, point it towards the ground. Okay, now that's the back side of my house. Okay, just an L. The on the walls, there was this brown paneling. At one point, evidently, the patio was enclosed, my neighbor told me. So then that's evidently when this carpet went in. So anyway, Catherine comes over. And she says, and I'm telling her, yeah, I might pull this paneling down. And she says, well, what's behind it? I said, well, the stucco's behind it. She said, are you sure? I said, well, what else is going to be behind it? A lake? So I grab a part of the, I grab a piece of the paneling, and I yank it off the wall. And she looks at me, and she goes, really? And I said, really? And so then I yanked a couple pieces. I said, well, I'm like 25% done. She said, Dad, you're out of your mind. And I said, I'm really not. And so anyhow, so I wound up pulling all that off and pulling all the nails out of the wall. So now what's left is stucco patching and painting, which won't take very long. And then doing something with the floor. And then my garage is beautiful. I mean, my backyard is beautiful. So yeah. I have to tell you, you know, a man without a project is a man, I don't know, without a soul. You know, I'm happier. To me, doing projects is like cleaning for me. It's a form of therapy, right? I can control everything most everything. With enough trips to Home Depot, I can deal with anything that comes my way, and it makes me happy. When I look at it and I'm like, yes, looks good. I will tell you this, though. My hands are sore. If I did not lift weights four times a week, I would not be able to get out of bed right now. That's scraping shit, man. That scraping shit is not easy. So anyway, yeah, so projects. So I've been doing that. So in the midst of those, right, while I'm scraping, I'm pondering. And one of the things I've been thinking about are the lessons learned from this. So when you back the lens out, right, and you look at the people that died because of this. Okay, so if you look at deaths, you look at economic impact, And then you looked at governance. And then you look at the media's coverage. So there's four criteria. Okay. And so if you look at the deaths, they predominantly come from people of age. And yet our earliest responses did not protect them. And even worse, you had leaders in this country, like the governor of the state of New York and the governor of the state of New Jersey. They sent people that had been infected to those senior living facilities. Now, what then happened was, and one of the reasons for the high death toll is this. We don't take very good care of our senior citizens. There's not enough money, right? Medicare, Medicaid doesn't pay enough to those facilities. So the jobs don't pay that much. So you're going to go work there. And, you know, who goes and works for less money when they could work for more? Well, people probably that can't get that job and aren't competitive there. Why not? Bad grades, right? Maybe poor performers. So I think that what you'll find in the reports and the after action is the COVID-19, one, was first plagued by poor decision-making by public health people and leaders. Why, you know, we were seeing Dr. Fauci every day. And Dr. Birx. And I think history is going to judge them harshly. Because in these previous, you know, pandemics, who suffered disproportionately? The elderly, right? Yet, you know, we didn't take draconian measures to slam the door shut in those places. And you're hearing these horrible stories. I mean, almost on a daily basis, you're hearing these horrible stories about families receiving phone calls at like 10 in the morning that says, hey, your father's sick. And then they receive another phone call at 2 in the afternoon saying, hey, your father's dead. So, and they could not go, they were not allowed to go visit them. And so, I mean, they're just horrible stories. Was that preventable? Was that not preventable? So to me, the United States, along with a lot of other nations, has some serious soul searching to do relative to, you know, care of senior citizens. And so to me, that's one of the primary lessons that comes out of this. Number two is we then told everybody else to shelter in place. So we protected those who are least vulnerable to it. That makes sense. Well, maybe initially in the face of the uncertainty, maybe initially, but it didn't make sense for very long. Then you get to the economic impact of making everybody who was not as susceptible. And again, take the USS Theodore Roosevelt as an example. You know, approximately 5,000 sailors, right? So young people in pretty good health on the Roosevelt. And they had less than 20 people go to, go to the hospital. They had less than 10 in the ICU, and they had one fatality. One fatality in 5,000. So for the people, you know, for young, healthy people, and I say young, and I'll throw everybody under the age of 60 in there. So for everybody in that age group, we told them to stay at home. And the economic impact of that is going to be felt, you know, in this country for a long time. The next thing And to me, in terms of economic impact and kind of slash these things now flow into governance, economic impact, you had as close to I've ever seen as dictatorial powers being exercised by governors. And I mean, here in California, it's stupid. And so to me, what has to come out of this is when we go through stuff like this, we don't identify businesses that are, you know, liquor store, right? A liquor store. That pastor that was on, I played his audio yesterday. Liquor stores were deemed essential. I guess they're essential if you're an alcoholic. But a liquor store is essential? Really? So that's the government picking winners and losers. You can't do that. Right? They handed our governments, both state and federal, are going to make Jeff Bezos the first trillionaire on the planet. Trillionaire. Yeah. And they will run a bunch of businesses out of business. They will forever have changed industries. Why? Well, to me, the problem is instead of saying, oh, yeah, this business can go and this business cannot, you know, what you have to do is you have to say this is the standard for you to open. It doesn't matter what, if you're a service, right? If you're a storefront, right? If you're a department store, if you can meet these standards, then you can open, right? But there's a two-tiered system relative to the governance and then the economic impact. If you are over the age of 60, you got to stay home. If you have high comorbidity factors, even if you're below the age of 50, you've got to stay home. You've got to work from home. Okay. The other piece of the governance thing is, so, I mean, that's kind of the economic impact, you know, and playing into governance. The other thing, and I saw an article I was going to talk about later, but I probably should talk about it now. Let me find it. And it's about, it's Governor Cuomo saying, Cuomo on coronavirus models. We all failed. They were all wrong. Have the words "I failed" come out of that? I failed the senior citizens of the state of New York. Have those words come out of his mouth yet? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has over the last several months overseen the worst coronavirus outbreak in the United States, is acknowledging that earlier projections and predictions about the disease behavior have been all wrong, declaring himself, "I'm out of the guessing business," with respect to the ongoing pandemic. The Democratic governor's admission Monday came as models have driven the lockdowns, many of which incorrectly predicted sky-high hospitalization rates and overwhelming healthcare systems, are raising concerns about possibly having overstated the danger of the pandemic. Possibly? These projections have in part led to the government policies that shuttered large parts of the U.S. economy and resulted in record unemployment. He has also declined to speculate on when the state might fully reopen. Yeah, I mean, that guy, and I've said it before, but that guy going on TV every day telling us all across the nation that this is what was coming to them, to the nation, right? So memo to every governor. Right. And this is the hardest thing to do. And it's like this. And when you go to war, stay in your lane, stay in your lane and do your job and don't speculate in a dynamic event. Now, again, this is foreign to most political elected officials. And notice I do not use the word leaders. OK, a leader is something else. So elected politicians, this is foreign to them. The way they solve problems is they have a committee. Right. you know, and everybody bloviates and the committee crafts some kind of solution to this. Not in a dynamic event that's going to change because you don't know. So, you know, so to me, stay in your lane, right? Don't speculate. And just talk about the things that you know. Now, that's really hard, and that's not what the media wants you to do, right? That's not what the media wants you to do. But the governor of the state of New York owes the whole nation an apology for his Chicken Little event that he staged on a daily basis. I mean, he annihilated the federal government for not moving quick enough to get him the 30,000 ventilators that he needed. He used 20% of that total. 20%. And then, you know, the whole thing about, oh, you know, this is coming to, you know, everybody else's theater. And then it took them, what, 2 months to say we're going to shut down the subway at night and clean it? Well, where do you think everybody's getting this virus from? So I think and he's most guilty of it. But, you know, the governor of Illinois started doing the same thing. Governor of New Jersey started doing the same thing. The governor of California started doing the same thing. And they're all reacting to uncertainty, and they're just communicating, you know, bad information. Fake news. And they need to learn how to stay in their lane. But I think in order to stay in your lane, you got to be a leader. You got to be confident that you know what you're doing. And you got to be confident that you don't want to be Andrew Cuomo. I mean, honestly, his response to this has been horrible. And he has New York locked up. Now, the fiscal impact in terms of governance is going to be felt. I was watching the head football coach at LSU on TV a little bit earlier. And they were asking about, you know, getting back to playing and he said, well, look, there's a little bit more to it than us just playing. He said, you know, first of all, the whole area depends on us, right? Hotels, restaurants, you know, our home football games, the six or so that we have, generate a ton of revenue for the people of this community. The football program in and of itself generates a lot of money for the university. It supports all the other programs in the athletic department. So you can see when this doesn't happen, it's a problem. And you can use that same, you know, logic with the sales tax. You shut down your economy, Governor. Now you're here in California, it's estimated $54 billion shortfall. It'll probably be more than that. And every city's got their own shortfall. And so the ass pain that we're gonna feel because of this overreaction is gonna be immense. And I will tell you this, do you think a Congress that is split is going to go ahead and rescue California, Illinois, New York, and New Jersey, all that are still buttoned up? Although California's coming out of it pretty quick. That guy, evidently, he can do math. Okay. The other ones can't. They're going to keep their, you know, they're going to keep their states shuttered. And so do you think a split Congress is going to come to the aid of those governors? No, they're not. They're going to say, hey, physician, heal thyself. You have the power to tax. You tell the citizens, and this to me is poetic justice. I kept you shut down. I'm going to raise your taxes. I can tell you two statements that unequivocally will not be made. I kept you shut down. I'm going to raise your taxes. Nobody's going to say that. And so in the after action of all of this, I mean, there ought to be a playbook that comes out of this, right? One, segregate the senior citizens, right? have a plan to have a visitation area with a separate entrance that's almost like a prison. And I know it sucks, but the glass and the phone, you know, in booths and stuff like that, you know, again, that you can assemble, and you've got a plan. So, one, protect the most vulnerable, and that is the senior citizens. And let me just tell you, wait till they write the report on the veteran, right? The veterans' homes across the country. The VA, not so much, right? In anything that you do. You want to let the VA mess with your brain? Good luck on that deal. Okay? We've seen what they've done with medication over the last two decades. Horrible. Horrible stuff. Why? You can fill in the blank in terms of why. And what do you think, you know, the state homes for veterans are like? First of all, you're dealing with indigent population, people that have means, have families. You know, normally there's other arrangements for them. And so these people normally have nothing left. And so they go to a veterans home in a state. What do you think the report out of those homes is going to be? It's going to be horrible. Horrible. So, one, protect the most vulnerable, and you can send the death number down. Two, economic impact. Don't segregate the part of the population that 99% will survive this. Stupid. Set standards. Don't pick winners and losers. Don't deem things essential. These are the standards. If you can do these things, you can stay open. Governance. Stay in your lane. Slow as pro. Back away from the two-hour press conference to include the President of the United States. Grandstanding. And Governor Cuomo should be a poster child for what you don't do. The king of misinformation, the king of Chicken Little. Know this. For whatever part of your economy you shut down, you're going to pay for it at some point later, either in programs or in raised taxes, but you're going to pay for it. And relative to the media, right, don't speculate. This is not politics as usual. So anyway, if you have any thoughts on that, I would be curious about what you think. So lesson learned from all of this. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the news today, so I want to get to that. Grant wrote an article, we'll talk about that a little bit, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff. So, good morning to you. Scott Husing, the writer of Echo in Ramadi, is supposed to join us at about 9:05 Pacific time. So, Scott wrote a piece for Fox about Gold Star families and Memorial Day, and so we'll have him on, and we'll talk about that. So, a good Wednesday morning to you. Hump Day already? Yeah, I got that going for you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. We'll be right back. and this is dedicated to everybody writing an after-action report. Get it right. Right, because that should be the playbook for the next response. And big challenge out there for the nation, that is, you got to survive two things. You got to survive the pandemic, and you also got to survive the politicians that attempt to use the pandemic for something that will certainly make you, you know, part of whatever your state's, you know, history is. That will certainly make you part of, you know, one of the great leaders of the state of New Jersey. Yeah. Okay. So we have to survive both of those. Yeah. Not easy to do, I might add. So this dedicated to everybody writing an after action report and putting together the quote-unquote playbook for the next time this happens. Don't screw this up, because it's a life or death proposition. No shit, a life or death proposition.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I like the start of that. I'm not going to lie to you. All right. Marine weather here. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 70 down the coast, partly sunny and 79 at Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms, sunny and 87 already, haze, it's called overcast near the coast, but overcast and 63 as the marine layer gets ready to burn off at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith and Hawaii, dark cloudy and 71. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 74. The Helmand Province, clear evening and 91 degrees. And in Ramadi, it is mostly sunny, 95 degrees late in the afternoon. currently at the home of Auburn Radio. Cloudy and 62, looking for a high of 75 today. 73 tomorrow and 71 on Friday. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll check news headlines, bunch of stuff in the news as we get going here on a Wednesday. Scott Husing will join us in about 30 minutes. Don't touch that dial. More of Auburn Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right. Time for us to check the news.
Accused of the things I've said.
So we'll do that now. Email, Mac, you're not a Andrew Cuomo fan. You know what? I don't really care about the guy either way, you know? But let me tell you, if you want to be perceived as a leader, you got to act like one. And I think the hardest thing to do as a leader, and, you know, you see military guys do this all the time. You know, when in 2004, when, you know, we had Fallujah surrounded, you know, General Mattis, I mean, he, who would not even be there when we ultimately, you know, went into it and took it back. I mean, every time, you know, he was interviewed, every time he was, you know, he was put on camera. I mean, it was restrained, fact-based information that he was given out. And, you know, what you've seen is, you know, in my opinion, what you've seen is quote-unquote, political elected officials who think that they can spin their way and double-talk their way through a serious national crisis. Doesn't work so good. So, yeah, I mean, I judge him. I judge him. I don't judge him even harshly. I've seen people lead in my life, and I pay attention. Yeah, I pay attention. So anyhow, and he scores low. Yeah, he scores low. FBI. Only one attacker at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi during the shooting. The FBI said Tuesday. Initially, right afterwards, they said possibly a second shooter, or possibly somebody else involved in it. And yet they gave no description, no other information, which I found to be odd. So yesterday they made an announcement that only one attacker in the shooting. That's what their evidence points to. So that in the news today. The United Nations Command, this is an incident from a couple weeks ago, says it was unable to determine if North Korea accidentally fired into the DMZ. Yeah. The United Nations Command accused both Koreas of violating the 1953 armistice agreement during an exchange of gunfire across the border earlier this month. But investigators failed to determine if the North fired on purpose. North Korean soldiers fired four rounds of 14.5. That would be the equivalent of a 50 cal, a little bit heavier. Small arms from a guard post on their side of the DMZ. And then South Korean responded with two volleys of gunfire and then a broadcast warning. So the UN command said they were unable to figure out whether that happened on purpose or it was somebody playing with the safety and messing around with the weapon. If you're going to shoot a burst, why shoot one burst? Yeah, good question. Army Reservist based in Wisconsin is the third service member to die from COVID-19, according to the Pentagon. The Defense Department included the last death, the Army's second, in its daily release of the latest COVID-related data. The official who spoke on condition of anonymity declined to provide additional information. So, I mean, if you're a reservist and you're not mobilized, I mean, in my opinion, you're a civilian statistically, even though the DOD will include you. So, look, how many million people are on active duty? 1. What? So they had a Navy chief die on the Roosevelt. I don't know who the second one was. And now a reservist who, in my opinion, ought to be categorized as a civilian because he's not living as a member of the DOD. So anyway, that gives you just, again, you know, so when we're taking the lessons down, most of the people inside the DOD are going to be fine. They're going to be okay. So we can do our thing. All right. Marines on Okinawa bid farewell to Combat Logistics Regiment 35. They're part of the 3rd Marine Logistic Group. stationed on Okinawa, had served as a headquarters unit for 3rd Maintenance Battalion, 3rd Supply Battalion for 14 years. Those battalions will now serve 3 Marine Expeditionary Force independently under the 3rd Marine Logistics Group staff structure. The move is expected to afford more flexibility in organizing, training, and equipping the force. Of course, it will. All right, so CLR 35. See you later. The my daughter just asked if she could print something, so I had to stop. From Just the News, that was all Stars and Stripes. Trump vows to strongly regulate social media after Twitter flags 2 of the president's posts. Now, here's the question, right? Here's the question for Twitter. Are you gonna screen everybody's posts? And are you going to attach that to every politician's post, or are you singling out the president? So, again, the president is, you know, is included in the, but to me, is not as bad as Cuomo. I mean, what would most people say who don't like the president about, you know, his response? They would focus on hydrochloroxin, whatever that stuff is. Right. Oh, you know, the guy's an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Well, that pales in significance to what governors like Andrew Cuomo did to their states. Killed people. What Gavin Newsom done to California. And that pain's going to be felt for a while, too. It ain't going away. So, anyway, how do these flags get applied? Who screens all? So is every politician going to get their statement screened? So I'd be very curious how, you know, how Twitter intends to regulate the free speech of people and how much truth is in their content that they tweet. We've already talked about Andrew Cuomo for one day. Navy probing security response to NAS Corpus Christi. So they continue to do their post-mortem. There was a post over the weekend that included a picture of a former sailor and an account of what happened that the Navy said, yeah, that's not true. That person was in the Navy, but is currently out of the Navy and wasn't at Corpus Christi. A Secretary of Defense, Esper, lifts the DOD stop movement order and replaces it with a conditions-based guidance. So people are going to start moving again. The how the Marine Corps is conducting a modernization overhaul of infantry weapons. Yeah, we'd love to talk about that, right? The Marine Corps is launching a major overhaul of its infantry weapons and optics systems over the course of the next 10 years, according to MARFOR System Command Program Manager for Infantry Weapons. This is the largest modernization of infantry squad in 25 years, said Lieutenant Colonel Tim Huff. Part of the modernization process, Program Manager IW is working to replace Marine Corps pistols with modular handgun system featuring a plastic clip-on piece to provide grip size variety. Well, you know, that's all great, but nobody uses a pistol. Yeah, we don't use them. Right? Special ops guys? Maybe. MPs? Maybe. Everybody else? Like, you know, no. So, yeah. The M1152 ammunition is expected to have increased penetration through various mediums. And the M1152 special purpose is intended to cause more damage in soft tissue. Yeah. The choice of ammunition for an engagement is threat and mission dependent. Right. So we're going to have like six stacks of ammunition. Pick what you want, boys. You have any idea what your target is? No, some supply geek is going to do that. Right? More Marines will get the M27 infantry automatic rifle that was first introduced to infantry units in 2011 by the end of this fiscal year. The rifle was popular with Marines, prompting the service to field the M27 to all rifle platoons as their primary individual weapon to replace the M249 squad automatic weapon. Marine Corps initially said it was partnering with the Army to procure next-generation squad weapon systems and then planned to swap out the M27s for a 6.8mm rifle, an automatic rifle, as the primary individual weapon for infantry units. But the service later said that that information was inaccurate and that no decision has been made regarding the next-generation squad weapon. So, new optic. So there you have it. Yeah. Someday, it'll all be out there. You know, we've talked about this whole idea, right? And you hear the word transformation thrown about. And so is it a transformation? Is it a transformation or is it just the evolution of warfare? Right, so people talk drones and precision guided munitions. Right, there's a video that you can watch. Watch a ship down a drone with a laser. So I'll do play by play. All right, so there's a red lens that this is being photographed. The Navy has released footage of a laser weapon system demonstrator test. So it looks like your basic frigate or something that's got a laser mounted on it. And it's being shot through a red lens so you could see the laser. Whoa. Laser's pretty bright. Footage shows the weapon system disabling a drone in flight. Hold on. Ooh. All of a sudden, the drone's flying, and then the test was conducted aboard the amphibious transport dock ship, the USS Portland. LPD. The Navy's been working on different laser weapons for years. Smoke that drone. The laser's operational employment on a Pacific Fleet ship is the first system ever implementation of a high energy solid state laser. Yeah, how about that for all you dorks out there? Fired up to hear that, you know you are. Yeah, so the drone's flying, and then all of a sudden you see it start on fire. And then it kind of tips over, and see you later. So that's good stuff, man. So all of a sudden you have drones flying at you. No more drones. And that's, you know, and I don't know, I mean, is that the way you attack them? The Navy, you know, the laser way to attack them? Or is a better way to attack them with some kind of energy pulse that just disables them? So anyhow, that's why I don't buy this transformation of war of warfare. Oh yeah, it's a transformation. Well, it is until somebody else figures out the countermeasure, right? And Tim Lynch is famous for. Not famous, but, you know, we talk about, you know, an IED in Iraq that caused so many casualties, right? What was it? It was an artillery round, and they unscrewed the top of it where the fuse goes, right? They put a blasting cap. They wired the blasting cap to a cell phone, and taped all that up. And then they'd call the cell phone. The electrical pulse that is going to go to the speaker and make a sound now goes to the blasting cap. The blasting cap explodes, right? The artillery round explodes, and it detonates for their artillery rounds, hopefully. At least that's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan. That's how it works. So then what do? We say, and this is what Tim walks through when he talks about evolution versus transformation. Then what happens is we say, we can jam that cell phone because that's a predominant device. So we find a jammer. We make it portable on our Humvees. We mount it, and for 50 meters around the Humvee, we jam everything. So off the side of the road and beyond that, 25 meters on either side of the vehicle, 25 meters to the front, 25 meters to the back, everything gets jammed, right? So you have one in the front and you have one in the back. So from the first vehicle to the last vehicle can be no more than 100 meters or else something might explode. So that's how you got to shape the movement. So they start calling the IED and nothing's happening. And then once we get past it, the call goes through and it explodes. And it worked. Jammed IEDs. Then what happened? They found out what we were doing. And they took some wire. They took 25 cents worth of wire and they put the phone 70 meters away. And then they called the phone. Yeah, and it worked. And so what did we have to do? We made stronger jammers. And then they wired the thing 100 meters away. Or then they got the pressure plates. And they would only go off if the vehicle weighed X amount of weight. So that way a car wouldn't trigger it. It would have to be something heavier than a car. So, right? So it's a big change until somebody does something that counters it. And it's the evolution of the military. And you look at tanks. What killed a tank? A gun. Like a 50 caliber machine gun would kill a tank when they started. Well, what they do? They put more armor on the tank. And what people do? Oh, we'll take this artillery piece, we'll put it in the direct fire mode, right? And we'll smoke the tank. Then they improved ammunition, right? Armored piercing ammunition. So it's all the same. That's why this thing, transformation, oh, it's all going to be different. Yeah, till drones, everybody's going to have a drone. Well, that's great. But a drone, right, is going to fly by some electronic impulse, right? Even if it's navigating itself, right? They say, oh, it's an autonomous drone. Okay, well, is the autonomous drone, is it hardened with a compound that will deflect or reflect all energy that's directed at it? Are they going to invest that kind of money in their little drone? Probably not. Okay, so all I have to do is create something that penetrates the plastic and electronically pulls that thing right into the water or right on the ground. So you mean it wasn't the transformation that we thought it was? No. No. Well, how do we shoot? How do we do that? Well, we can do it with an artillery round. We can do it with an anti-air gun, right? All you have to do is set the distance and then create the engagement. This thing goes out, right? And it explodes and it's an electrical pulse on this kind of frequency, which we know they use. So, I mean, it's all that kind of stuff. So, anyway. Quote, with this new advanced capability, we are redefining war at sea for the Navy, the Portland's commanding officer, Captain Kerry Sanders, said in the news release. The main benefit of using laser system to defend U.S. warships would come in the Western Pacific, where an increasingly assertive and capable China can churn out large quantities of missiles designed to overwhelm America's pinpoint defenses. Without a laser, U.S. warships might have to empty a magazine of anti-ballistic missiles to counter incoming waves of Chinese weapons, forcing a destroyer to rely on its gun or remove itself from the fight to reload its virtual launching system. Defensive lasers would allow ships to save their missile tubes for offense. Wow, we love that. Next report from Military Times. Pentagon to present Afghanistan timelines to Trump, including one for withdrawal by Election Day. Let me look into my crystal ball. That is the one he'll choose. Yes, that's the one he'll choose. This just in from the Associated Press. About half of Americans would get a COVID-19 vaccine if available, while 1 in 5 would not. So 20% of Americans say they would not. Many who wouldn't get the vaccine get vaccinated worry about vaccine safety. So you have half of Americans say they would, 20% say they would not. What about the other 30%? What do they say? Maybe? Undecided? Pentagon spokesman Jonathan Hoffman declined to discuss specific meetings with the president, but said on Tuesday that any reduction under the agreed-upon 8,600 troop number will be conditions-based. He added, however, that the recent ceasefire over the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Fitr and the Afghan government's release of 900 Taliban as part of the prisoner swap were incredibly encouraging. So steps. One, the two parts of the Afghan government that could not agree did, and now they've agreed on some kind of power-sharing situation. One guy is going to represent the nation in negotiations. The other guy is going to run the nation. And then, the next story, please. Afghan government releases hundreds of Taliban prisoners as part of the peace deal with the U.S. This makes me nervous, man. It's the single largest prison release since the U.S. and the Taliban signed a peace deal earlier this year. The government announced it would release 900 Taliban prisoners as a 3-day ceasefire with the insurgents draws to an end. The Taliban had called for the truce during the Muslim holiday of Eid, and marks the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. There are expectations that the prison release could lead to new reductions in violence, and Taliban officials are considering an extension of the ceasefire, according to a senior Taliban figure to the Associated Press. If these developments, like the announcement of prisoner releases, continue, it's possible to move forward with decisions like extending the brief ceasefire and move into a positive direction with some minor issues. So, All Marine Radio, pessimistic on Afghanistan. The president then said, quote, well, here's the headline. Trump promises again to bring our soldiers home from Afghanistan. But yeah, except here's the rub now. There's an election in November. And here's what the president can see. The president can see the path to the White House. Another 4 years. So for all you Trump haters, I got some bad news for you. And that is this. If the economy turns around, it's going to be bad news for Joe Biden. So that means Donald Trump will have survived, and then more information is going to come out about the conspiracy against his administration by members of the Obama administration. More of that's going to come out, and it's going to look like shit, and Biden would have sat in on some of it. So president will have survived that, and he'll have the economy going for him, and he'll get the majority of Americans out of Afghanistan. And he's going to say, okay, here's what I did. I said I was going to build a wall. I built it. I created the greatest economy in American history. I did it all in spite of what these people did to me. And now, after the COVID-19, where we shut the economy off, this thing is smoking again, and look what it's doing. That's the case he's going to make. And on top of that is going to be, right, we're out of Afghanistan. Top 5 stories in early bird. And again, I have not heard from Scott Husing. So I'm thinking that he forgot. I sent him an email, a text message earlier today. And have not heard from him. So anyway, yeah, we continue. Well, let me take a break, and we'll probably come back and do some more news. More Balmerine Radio coming up, yeah, next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
From the
Now, when you hear that music, you know who that refers to, right? The chef. So, I spoke to the chef. Yeah. And honestly, he sounds fantastic. I was amazed. And he's home and he's doing good. And hopefully you'll hear him on Friday. Yeah. Yeah, I got a chance to talk to him a couple times over the weekend. And I forgot to mention it yesterday. But he's doing good, so. So, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue because what I planned isn't working out today. Yeah. So we'll do the news and I'll end that. And then I'm out. That's right. But good news on the show. All right, top five stories in early bird. Number one, Pentagon to present Afghanistan timeline to Trump. Yeah, you can imagine that meeting, right? Sir, do you want us to go through the charade of presenting this or just want to tell us what we're going to do? You're going to be out of there by, let's see, I need you out of there by October 1st. All but the bare bones. Got it? And we're going to change them. The name for the bare bones to the emergency brigade. Okay? Got to be something like that. Okay, but let me tell you what I want. I don't want any American casualties. Get them out of Kabul. Get them out of Kandahar. Get them out in the middle of the desert. You can find some. Build something. Put them out there. Yeah. That's my crystal ball. The number two, DOD's travel ban is lifting with some restrictions still in place. So anyway, the nuances of nobody's moving anywhere. The nuances of that are as follows. This conditions-based phased approach prioritizes the safety and security of our personnel, their families, and our communities while balancing the need to advance service members' career opportunities, unit rotational deployments, and other imperatives. States, districts, and territories will evaluate, based on opening up America again, the plan, right, that the president's administration put out, using data from the Health and Human Services Department, Centers for Disease and Prevention, as well as input from military services and combatant commands. Troops, families, and other personnel will be able to travel, including within the U.S. and to host countries, as long as their destinations have lifted local shelter-in-place orders and shown a 14-day downward trend of either flu-like or COVID-19 symptoms. There will be some localities and some states that go green immediately. If that's the case, you can move. So anyway, the memo also adds to the previous list of exemptions to the stop movement order the following. Travel for recruiting and accessions, right? So that means recruiters and then people that are going to recruit training. Travel for necessary medical treatment. Combat command requested deployments following 14-day isolation periods. Troops who have checked out of previous units and are waiting to travel to a new one. Troops on temporary duty who are scheduled to return home during the stop movement order. Troops or DOD civilians preparing to separate or retire, they can go now. Travel for professional military education, that can happen now. And returning home from a foreign assignment per State Department orders. So anyway, for situations that fall outside of those parameters, troops can apply for waivers in cases of mission essential travel. If it's not mission essential, then sorry. All right. That's number two. Number three, a second soldier, the third service member, has died of COVID-19. Now, we talked about this a little bit ago, but let me just see if there's more information about this. It's been nearly 6 weeks since a service member's death due to COVID-19 complications following the death of Chief Aviation Ordnance Man Charles Tuckner Thacker, 41, who had been assigned to the aircraft carrier Roosevelt. His death was preceded by Captain Douglas Hickok, 57-year-old New Jersey National Guard physician's assistant in late March. All right. Monday's number brings the rate among troops to 0.04%. The nationwide mortality rate is at 6%. Good God. So the DOD, right, not even infected. So there you have it. The data. Next story in the early bird is Pentagon's number two watchdog official resigns. It's by Robert Burns for the Associated Press. Robert Burns, pretty well-respected writer, reporter. The number two official in the Pentagon's office of Inspector General Glenn Fine. Why do I know that name? I know Fine's name for some reason, and it's not good. Resigned Tuesday, several weeks after he was effectively removed as head of a special board to oversee auditing of $2.2 trillion coronavirus economic relief package. His departure, effective June 1, is the latest move in a broader shakeup of government watchdog agencies that Democrats call a politically motivated campaign by President Trump to weaken government oversight. Let me tell you, whenever you see a series of watchdogs get fired, the question is, who's taking their place? Was it valid? Because the watchdogs tend to be pretty independent. Now, some of them have covered themselves in glory. Others, not so much. A spokesman for the Pentagon's Office of Inspector General said, Fine was not asked to resign. He issued a brief written statement lauding the importance of government watchdogs. The role of inspectors general is a strength of our system of government. They provide independent oversight to help improve government operations in a transparent way. They are a vital component of our system of checks and balances. I'm grateful to have been here and part of the system. So he says he wasn't asked to resign or he wasn't forced out. Interesting. Five, Russian aircraft deployed to Libya to back private military contractors. Yeah. So let me get this straight. Russia's got private military contractors and is deploying the aviation component of the Russian military is going to back private military contractors. Let me get my secret decoder ring. That means they're not really private military contractors. That means they are part of the Russian Ministry of Defense, but they're masquerading in this gray area of combat by saying, hey, we're not really part of the Russian military. We're just mercenaries. Gray zone war, right? Like the Chinese fishing fleet that sinks Vietnamese boats that will track those 30 American amphibs that are sneaking around the South China Sea, they're going to be tracked in what's known as the gray zone fight. And we don't really play so much in the gray zone because we don't do those kind of things. But the Russians do, the Chinese do. So we got to get into the gray zone. Yeah. We got to get into the gray zone. So, yeah, this is, you know, this is how, you know, do you remember when in the Crimea, all of a sudden all these military trucks started showing up and nobody had markings on the trucks and the guys in them didn't wear any patches. Russia was like, yeah, we don't know who they are. Don't belong to us. Anyway, Russia has deployed, who wrote this? Diana Stacy Coral in Military Times. Russia has deployed military fighter jets to Al Jufra Airfield in Libya, where they are expected to back Russian state-sponsored private military contractors, according to U.S. Africa Command. Specifically, the command predicts the aircraft will provide close air support and offensive fires for the Wagner Group, a private military company that UF officials have warned has close ties to the Kremlin and is headed by a former Russian intelligence officer. Additionally, the Wagner Group backs the Libyan National Army. Yeah, so close ties? You don't deploy your Air Force to somebody you have close ties to. So there you have it. Russia is clearly trying to tip the scales in favor of Libya. Just like I saw them doing in Syria, where they are expanding their military footprint in Africa using government-supported mercenary groups like Wagner. And that from AFRICOM commander Stephen Townsend. Quote, for too long, Russia has denied the full extent of its involvement in the ongoing Libyan conflict. Well, there is no denying it now. We watched as Russia flew fourth-generation jet fighters to Libya every step of the way. Neither the LNA, Libyan National Army, nor private military companies can arm, operate, and sustain these fighters without state support they are getting from Russia. Now, I'll give you a little lesson, because the article outlines it, and does it pretty well. Following the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi, the U.S. maintained a small number of troops in Libya starting in 2011 to support local forces countering Islamic State and Al-Qaeda-linked militants there. U.S. troops were removed from Libya in April of 2019, though, due to the heightened unrest there. After the Libyan National Army, led by Field Marshal Khalifa Haftar, launched an offense against the GNA in Tripoli. Haftar, a former CIA asset, was exiled during the Gaddafi regime and obtained U.S. citizenship in the 1990s while living in Virginia before returning to Libya in 2011. He told Military Times AFRICOM troops have not returned to Libya since they were relocated. Meanwhile, Turkish-backed forces in Libya have made inroads in the fight against the LNA in recent days, such as retaking Al-Wadiya Air Base less than 100 miles from Tripoli last week. Days later, Haftar's Air Force Chief, Sakhr al-Jawuzi, warned the LNA would launch, quote, the largest aerial campaign in Libyan history. I'm not really sure what that is. If Russia seizes bases on Libya's coast, the next logical step is they deploy permanent long-range anti-access aerial denial capabilities, said Air Force General Jeff Harrigan, the commander of U.S. Air Forces Europe, Africa. If that day comes, it will create very real security concerns on European southern flank. AFRICOM has previously warned that Libya's civil war could also ignite a violent extremist organizations there, including ISIS Libya, by creating a ripe environment for recruiting and basic training. So Libya getting on your conflict radar screen as Russia moves there. Overseas operation, Afghan government releases hundreds of Taliban prisoners. We talked about that. and NATO needs to focus more on the Black Sea to defend against Russia, reports say. Now, that is a that's a report that's over a week old, so you've seen that. A couple of stories from the Pentagon, and then we're done for the day. Pentagon, live nuclear testing could resume in months if needed, officials say. Now, one of the things that the United States is pretty good at is, because we don't find ourselves in the same financial situations that Russia does, when we begin to test, we force them to test. And when we force them to test, we force them to spend a lot of money that they don't rightly have. See, Putin fakes it around the globe. That's what he does. So when we don't fake it, and when we don't play these games, that's why these treaties are so important. Because we tend to live by them. They don't. Right? So, so when we say, yeah, we're out of the treaty, what does that mean to the Russians? Money. It's a problem relative to money. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Number two story relative to the Pentagon. How the pandemic is helping military prep for World War III. From Defense One. I mean, to me, all the stuff that you see, if you were gonna, you know, create something after watching what's happened now, maybe you missed your window, I would say. Because if somebody unleashes something like the coronavirus again, is the American response going to be the same? I dare say no. Right, you've had one member of the United States military on active duty die from COVID-19. One. So what would that tell you? Right? What that would tell you is that, you know, the American military can survive this. Young, healthy people. The story says this, on April 14th, a briefing was held. It contained a warning for the commander of U.S. Northern Command in Stamford, Connecticut, about 56 miles northeast of New York City. It was a remarkably specific heads up, and it arrived when only about 1% of the U.S. population had been tested, and well before tech companies began working through the complexities of launching contact tracing apps. It was a first-of-its-kind warning generated by an experimental data collection system tied into the Pentagon's planned next-generation combat information system. Although the data collection and the prediction process was unproven, General Terence O'Shaughnessy and his commanders decided to trust it. O'Shaughnessy dispatched an additional 53 medical personnel to Stamford, and just in time, Manhattanites fleeing to the Connecticut suburbs helped cause a spike in Stamford's coronavirus cases. 412 new cases on April 19th, 2,109 on April 22nd. This episode was clearly a critical test of the Joint All Domain Command and Control, or JADC2 concept. It envisions a system for keeping commanders abreast of complex and dynamic battlefields that is central to the Pentagon visions of future warfare. The Stamford success was the fruit of a subsystem developed by Northcom and contractors Apple, Google, and Palantir and geospatial intelligence company ESRI to help pandemic responders rapidly report information up the chain of command. So, we're talking about Orwell stuff. How about that? Big Brother is watching. A breaking news from the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. State Department determines that Hong Kong is no longer autonomous, posing questions for economic ties and possible sanctions against China. Grant Newsom, last thing I'll talk about here today. So kind of interesting. I'm sure it's hooked into artificial intelligence, right? These tools for data collection, data analysis, and whatnot. And hopefully, if they can be delivered in a timely manner, you know, give you. And this has been the lament of commanders. I don't need more. I need better. So it's not the amount of data. It's going through that and making the data better. Okay? Making the data better. Final story based on the AP report. Headline, Xi Jinping gambles on defense front. Grant Newsham. When you've got a house full of sick people, you don't usually go out looking for a fight, but Xi Jinping isn't most people. Like a high-stakes gambler, he has rolled the dice while the COVID-19 epidemic rages to see what China can win on the defense front. The People's Republic of China muscle-flexing during COVID-19 is impressive. China continues sinking Vietnamese fishing boats. The People's Liberation Army Navy ship locked its fire control radar on a Philippine Navy ship. And there are exercises to intimidate and develop skill sets needed to invade Taiwan. Recently, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang left out the usual word peaceful when talking about China's goal of reunification of Taiwan. And that was not missed by anybody. Farther afield, a PRC flotilla of maritime militia / Coast Guard and a PLA Navy harassed a Malaysian survey ship down at the far end of the South China Sea, and Chinese fishing boats elbowed in and on Indonesian fishing grounds near the Natuna Islands. And there's more. China and Japan relations are supposedly on the upswing, yet Chinese naval incursions in Japanese-administered areas in the East China Sea are at record levels. Chinese Coast Guard ships recently chased a Japanese fishing boat near the Senkaku Islands in Japanese waters and underreported a Chinese fishing boat collided with a Ministry of Self-Defense destroyer in international waters off Shanghai. Initial damage reports suggest a Chinese boat rammed a Japanese ship. Further west, the PLA is encroaching on three points of Libya's land boundaries, digging in and going well beyond the usual jostling for borders. And then there's Hong Kong. China is preparing to strangle it. At the same time, despite the epidemic, China still churns out ships and aircraft, and PLA training is going all out. Military spending will increase by 6.6% this year while the economy contracts. Considering China has no enemies, one fairly worries. So you can find this, I'll include it in the post for the show today, andmagazine.com, andmagazine.com. That's how you spell magazine. Yeah, just one word, and magazine. Look for Grant Nation. So it'll be interesting if Hong Kong is no longer the finance capital of the Pacific Rim. Then what? Well, we're supposed to have Scott Husing on, but he has not showed up. So that'll do it on a Wednesday. If you're just tuning in, I'd be curious about your thoughts relative to the performance during the COVID-19 for an after action review. We'll probably talk about this tomorrow, but criteria. Thoughts on the number of deaths we've had. Thoughts on the economic impact. Thoughts on the government response, both state and federal. So your state governor and then the federal government. And then the role of the media in all of this. So you'll hear that. And then you heard a pastor yesterday, so you'll hear an extended version of the news. And culminating with Grant Newsham's article, which you can find in this post if you want to read the whole thing. So we'll take a quick break, restart the program, have a great hump day on Wednesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.